Church, how are we doing this morning? Is everything going fairly well? Well, this morning, I have a message that I'd like to share with you through God's Word. And it might make you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Can you imagine going to see a dentist because you're having a toothache and you're kind of wondering whether or not the dentist is going to have to pull it out? Well, you know, it's for our own benefit. First of all, I'd like for all of you to just look around you. Go ahead, look around. Around you, in the back, in the front of you. Now I'd like to ask you a question. How many outsiders or unbelievers do you find in our church? Well, folks, you know, I've heard it too many times about us and them. Believers and unbelievers. You know, Christians and Gentiles. Do you think that by our words and our actions, we make people feel not wanted? Is our church a church that's inclusive or exclusive? I truly believe that there is a need in our church today that as Christians, we reach out and invite other sinners, other unbelievers to join us, the family of God. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we already know that your Spirit is here. For you have promised where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there in the midst of them. And so, Heavenly Father, we ask that you reveal to us through your Spirit how we can effectively teach and reach out to our family, friends, and neighbors. Oh, Heavenly Father, give us wisdom. Give us knowledge. But above all else, give us understanding. Oh, dear God, hear our prayer. Hear our prayer, for we ask this in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus, who said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Amen. Turn with me now to the book of 1 Corinthians, our scripture reading for this morning. I'll be reading out of the New King James Translation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9, 10, and 11. If you dare, say amen, please.
Amen.
Good. And here we find Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, the church members of the church of Corinth. And he, as we are today, we have many problems, don't we? We have stresses. And there are certain things that basically Paul is trying to give counsel to the members of the church. And I think it's for our benefit also today. And he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know that? Folks, the only ones that will inherit the kingdom of God has to be righteous. Righteous. And he goes on to say, do not be deceived. Why is he talking about do not be deceived? In other words, are there people in the church that think that they are righteous? Well, evidently so, because he says, do not be deceived, because those that are fornicators, those who are idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then in verse 11 it says, and such were some of you. In other words, some of those members were. But you were washed. You were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. It says in our Bible that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict us of three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. And here we find in verse 11, but you were washed. You were cleansed of your sins. You were forgiven of your sins. And the second thing is you're sanctified. You're made holy. You're set apart. And the third thing is justified. And so the first thing I'd like us to remember this morning is that we were once sinners. Unbelievers. We are all converted sinners. And yet, we will still continue to sin. In First John chapter 1, verse 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And Jesus said, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:20. As Christians, we should not be ever arrogant to think that we are better than others. And act like we think we are better than others. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, Jesus said, judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And so if we would look and examine ourselves, we would find that we are sinners. However, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. I truly believe that when we truly believe in this, and we truly understand and appreciate all that has been done for us, we will come to the place, we'll open our arms and welcome others to have fellowship with us and to partake of the wonderful blessing that you and I enjoy. You know, folks, you've heard this many, many times before, right? This is not the first time you've heard this. And yet, we ask, how is this possible? Have you ever wondered why, whenever we have an evangelistic meeting, that most of the people that attend those meetings are our own members? You ever wondered about that? What's wrong with this picture? What can we do that would cause others to seek and want to know about the plan of salvation? What would it take? And so this morning, I'd like us to just focus upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the," what? "Power of the Holy Spirit." In other words, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may abound in hope. In Galatians chapter 5, 16, it says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." In Job 26, 13, Job 26, 13, it says, "By his Spirit, he adorned the heavens." Do you know what that means? By the Holy Spirit, the heavens were created. The sun, the moon, the stars, all the planets were created by the Holy Spirit. In Psalms 104, 29 and 30, "You hide your face, you are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." Friends, what it says here is that every man, woman, and angel is the work of the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." You know, we don't know for certain how long it has been since the universe was first created. However, we do find that the Holy Spirit caused the darkness to separate. And as he moved the different pieces of matter, remember, this is void without form. So the Holy Spirit moved, and all of a sudden, this void form started to become something round. And before long, this round object started to have motion and started to move. And it moved in accordance with God's plan. It was no longer something that was out of control, but in control. There was one particular instance of creation in which the Holy Spirit was extraordinarily concerned. And this involved our Lord Jesus Christ. Born of a woman and made in the likeness of sinful flesh, the power that conceived him came from God, the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, "And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One, who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Is there anything too hard for God? It says that with God all things are possible. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26 state, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. Folks, we need to understand that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has a definite plan for every human being coming into this world. God the Father sent His only Son, Jesus, to die for our sins, for the sins of the world. And yet Jesus asked His Father before He went back to heaven that the Holy Spirit would come and dwell and comfort His people, to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Yes, the Holy Spirit convinces sinners that they are sinners and that they need a Savior in Jesus Christ. What I'm saying to you is that without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't even know that you were a sinner. You wouldn't even know what's right or wrong. You wouldn't even know if you're even walking in darkness. I believe as Seventh-day Adventists, we must understand the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think we do understand. You see, the Holy Spirit is to convict us of righteousness. In John chapter 16, verse 8, and when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit has already convicted us of sin. But my question is, has He convicted us of righteousness? Do we understand this subject? If not, should we ask? We should understand that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Trinity, are three separate and distinct powers. And yet all three were involved in the plan of creation. Here's an analogy. The Father has a plan, and He calls the Son, the Holy Spirit together, and He tells them about this plan. And Jesus, the Son, gives the command about God's plan, the Father. And the Holy Spirit, He actually performs the plan that God the Father has and Jesus has commanded. And then it was. The Holy Spirit is the power that creates. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Folks, if you don't remember anything else, remember this. The Holy Spirit is God. The image of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is holy and righteous. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, it states, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Holy relates to two different things. It means to set apart as being holy, and also holy as in behavior. Holy, remember again, refers to all three members of the Trinity. His name is holy. His words are holy. His works are holy. His throne is holy. His temple is holy. And his people are holy. Holy is a word that best describes God's behavior. God is absolutely truthful. In other words, God cannot tell a lie. God is faithful. He will never leave us nor forsake us. God cannot be tempted. These are attributes which apply to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now for you and I to be holy in our behavior requires that we be like God. Now, is this possible? Can you and I be holy like God? Well, folks, wake up. It's time to wake up. Turn with me to your Bibles, to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. You there? Say amen, please. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is what is expected of you and I. You call yourself a Christian? Guess what? You need to be holy. You need to be acceptable to God. In verse 2 it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Can you change your mind? Can you renew your mind? No. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But you know something? That mind has to be transformed. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were no longer holy. They were no longer righteous. They were no longer acceptable in their condition to God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They needed to be resuscitated. They needed to be brought back to life spiritually. They needed to be born again. They needed to be born of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they lost. They were no longer in the image of God. You see, the plan of salvation requires sinners to be holy and righteous. Yes, it is impossible for you and me to do this. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, it is His work to create in us this new heart. And it's not in here. It's in here. To transform us. It's a metamorphosis. First kind of a program that has to go on. That we change and that our minds no longer on the things of this earth, but will dwell more about the things of heaven. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 14, it states, "And shall put my spirit in you, and shall live." Stop right here. Listen. Without the Holy Spirit creating a new heart within us, with His fruit of righteousness, we will not enter into God's kingdom. I'm sorry, folks, but that's God's word. I read it to you this morning. It states here. Don't get angry at me, because this is what is expected of us if you want to be in God's kingdom. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's not the fruits. It's just the fruit. It's love, joy, peace. You folks have heard about the parable about the seed and the different types of soil. But nothing is wrong with the seed, folks. What's really wrong is with the soil. The seed is perfect. What's already been implanted in us by Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit, He will come and He will work with the soil that's rocky, full of weeds, a soil that is dry without any water. He'll provide the nourishment. He'll provide the fertilizer. He'll provide the rain and the sunshine. He'll pour out His power and create in us a new heart. And once we have this new heart, folks, we will not only have love, joy, and peace, we will be long-suffering, a little bit more tolerant. We'll be kind. We'll be good. We'll be faithful. We'll be gentle. And we would be in control of self. And so through the Holy Spirit, and only through His power, can we be presented a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. How important is the Holy Spirit? Without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to please God. See, folks, we study a lot about sin and the forgiveness of sin. But just as important, the Holy Spirit's work in our lives is very critical. Because without that in our lives, folks, go back to the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, 3,000 people were converted. They were the same people. But it was through the power of the Holy Spirit, not through the power of you and I. We have no power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And the sooner we learn this, the better we will be as a church. That we'll find that we can grow. Because you know what? We're not going to be concerned about ourselves. We're going to be concerned about others. You see, the Holy Spirit, when He comes into us, He will help us to humble ourselves. He will help us to pray. He will help us to seek the face of God. He'll help us to turn away from our evil ways. And you know something? When that happens, the power of the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in our church. And then we will witness the outpouring of His Spirit. And when that happens, miracles will happen. You don't believe this? Try it. I challenge every one of you for this next week to get on your knees before you begin each and every day to ask, first of all, to thank God for His plan of salvation. Thank Jesus for coming and dying for our sins. And then thank the Holy Spirit for the work that He's trying to do in our lives. And not only thank Him, but to ask Him to continue every single day to do that. You know, that's what's called sanctification. And it takes a lifetime. And each and every day, you'll be brought to God and Jesus acceptable, holy, and righteous. We are not, but the Holy Spirit will do that for us. But we have to be willing. We have to be willing to submit. Like Job, he came to the point in his life and he said, I came into this world with nothing. I leave this world with nothing. God, thank you for all that you have done for me. For the experiences that I had with my children. For the blessings that you gave me with all the riches that I had in this earth. But now I am without nothing. But I still thank you, God, for what experiences that you have let me experience in my life. Because, you know, folks, we all will die someday. If we continue living in this earth, we're going to die. But what is it that you would like to have in your relationship with God? I would suggest that we all get on our knees and ask the Spirit to truly give to us this new heart, this new mind, that we may really do God's will and allow God to come and live within us. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Is it your desire for the Holy Spirit to transform your mind into the mind of Jesus Christ? Would you like to be anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit? Don't say yes. Because if you want to be anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit, there's a responsibility that comes with that anointing. And that means we have to be able. You don't have to try. Because the Holy Spirit has anointed you and He is in you, you don't have to try. You will look at every single person as a child of God, as your brother, as your sister, as your family. If that happens, you will love them. And you know, folks, people like to be around people who love them. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful and awesome privilege we have of being your children. We thank you for your Spirit, who not only convicts us of our sins, but our need of righteousness. So grant us the desire that each and every day we may invite your Spirit to sanctify us, to make us holy and acceptable unto a wonderful and loving God. A God so full of grace. Because we ask this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please turn with me to your hymnals in closing to hymn number 262.
Shall we all stand?